Oh my. All right, so we've been just having a little fun talking about who needs Christmas and kind of looking at a really stressful situation. And sometimes, isn't it true, we get into, for some reason during this time of year, and probably that was just a Pinterest cookie fail, okay, if you've ever had one of those Pinterest things that looks so nice, and they seem so simple, and they come with about five directions, and somewhere you get done with it, and you're like, yeah, that's not it at all. If you've ever done that, you understand sometimes the stress we put on ourselves to try to make this season absolutely perfect. When everything perfect, everything to come out right, and normally there's something that throws a wrench into all of it. And so we've been talking about really then who needs that kind of stress, but who really needs Christmas? And so far we've kind of uncovered that the Christmas story is unbelievably remarkable. It is an incredible story. And it doesn't begin once upon a time, so it's like a fairy tale. It actually invites us into real characters in this incredible situation where God is trying to make sure that we understand how much He absolutely loves us. So far we've discovered who needs Christmas. The world did. The world needed a way to be blessed through Abraham. So we went back 2,000 years before the Christmas story began to the whole backstory of Christmas and the story of Abraham and how God made him this incredible promise. And then last week was all about that God needed Christmas. He needed a place to demonstrate His love for us, so that you and I, when things go really bad in our life and difficult, and we're tempted to think, boy, I don't know if God loves me. These circumstances, this situation, I'm not sure if God really loves me. That we would make sure, wow, there's no mistaking how much God loves me. And all I have to do is see these bookends of the manger and the cross, and those bookends remind me incredibly how much I am loved by God. So in Matthew chapter 1, we are given the story of the birth of Jesus. And in it, I hope to introduce us to who needs Christmas. We need Christmas. So Matthew chapter 1, if you want to follow along, you can do so in the events area of the Bible app if you use that. And we find this. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. One of the things that we talk about during this whole situation where Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant. And a lot of times you look back and say, yeah, the Old Testament says she could be killed. Well, one of the reference points of that is that we need to understand the Romans have control, and the Jewish people weren't allowed to execute anybody or do anything. But that was the ultimate penalty. So Joseph is like, what's going to happen to her? She's going to be disgraced. Something's going to happen to her family. So he was looking for a way that he could deal with this in a very private way, because it says what? He was a righteous man. He wanted to do right by her. He wanted to do right by the law, and he wanted a way in which to honor God, honor her, and treat her with respect. It's really a remarkable situation, because here's Joseph wrestling with, what do I do in this situation, because I'm not sure how to deal with it. I'm not sure how to handle it. And so he decides, hey, if we break this off quietly, nobody needs to know, and we can deal with this that way. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Right? Because it's the only way Joseph is going to be convinced that something remarkable is happening. Something extraordinary is happening. It's for an angel to show up and say, Joseph, by the way, this is all right. This is from God. This is what God is up to. This is what God is doing. So here we go. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, if this was a moment where an angel was speaking to Joseph, Joseph might have an objection here. And it's that last line, that he will save his people from their sins. Okay? That I think Joseph would look at all this and go, angel, We have bigger needs than this, okay? I don't know if you've ever been introduced to the hierarchical of needs by Maslow, but we have bigger needs than being saved from our sins. There's bigger things going on. We got Rome in town, okay? We've got other things going on. I'm not sure this is the biggest need that we have. Maybe Joseph would have said, Rome needs saving from their sins. They're terrible. They're awful. Do you know what they're like? Do you know the things that they do? Do you know the things that they're about? Rome could use saving from their sins. We need saving from Rome. We need saving from Rome. Forget this sin stuff, Angel. We need Rome to leave. We need somebody to come in and shove Rome out. And if you know, that is part of why there was this struggle against who Jesus was. Because so many of the Jewish people wanted that. They wanted saving from Rome. They wanted Rome removed. They wanted Rome kicked out. They wanted Rome sent back to Rome. They wanted them out of their area, their town, their ways. They wanted them gone. Joseph might have said, we need a savior with a sword. We need someone with a sword. We need someone to take care of this. We need someone to do it. And besides, when he says, you give him the name of Jesus, that is the Old Testament name Joshua. Yeah, we need someone to go into the new land, kick the other people out, and gain control and take over. Exactly, we need a Joshua. But we don't need saving from our sins. We need saving from Rome. We need saving from something else. And sometimes I wonder if you and I would have that same argument when we read a passage like this. Yeah, I know the sin thing, but I need saving from my debt. I need saving from, you know, bad relationships. I need saving from mistakes that I made. I'm not sure about this, the sin thing, being saved from my sins. But look what happens. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. Do you know why? Because when an angel tells you to do something, you do it, okay? Now, I realize none of us in here have had that experience, okay? Haven't you ever, you know, you'll read these stories. Well, oh, an angel's... Now, this is an angel speaking, and this is an incredible situation. So, of course, he got up and did exactly as the angel commanded. And he took Mary home as his wife. Now, this is the phrase I want us to focus on. This save us from our sins. This is what I think we hear instead. I think we hear forgive us from our sins. Forgive us from our sins. That's what I think you and I, when we read the story, oh yeah, Jesus is here, and he is here to forgive us from our sins. And I think if we are not careful, we end up reducing Christmas to nearly just forgiveness. The Jewish people had a system to forgive their sins, okay? It was called sacrifice, where you brought in an animal, and that animal was given your sins, and that animal was put to death. So they had a system to have their sins forgiven. Okay? They needed to be saved from their sins. You and I need to be saved from our sins. But if we're not careful, we do, as I talked about a few months ago, we reduce Christianity down to sin, forgive, repeat. Okay? Yeah, I messed up. God forgive me. And why we just go out and do the same thing. And I told you that version of Christianity is incredibly damaging to you, and it's incredibly damaging to the people around you who are watching the way you live. Why do you keep doing this, okay? All you're going to do is feel guilty. You know, your friends who are far from God, they look at you and go, why would you live that way? Live like me. I have no guilt. I don't think God exists. I don't think anything, okay? So I just do whatever I want. But you feel bad, and then you ask for forgiveness, and then you go out and do the same thing. I don't get that, okay? The world does not understand that type of why would we live that way when we just reduce it into sin, forgive, repeat. Sin, forgive, repeat. Sin, forgive, repeat. Jesus came for more than sin, forgive, repeat. He just did. And I want you to understand that today, that the Christmas story is that he came to save us from our sins. Not a reduction to forgiveness so that we can just go out and do whatever we want, and oh, God will forgive me, and God, I'm sorry. And then we just repeat and we do the same thing. He came to save us from our sins. That Christmas is more than forgiveness. It's about the power of sin being broken, being dealt with in Jesus. Let me see if I can help you with a couple of situations that Jesus ran into. So in John chapter 8, the Pharisees, in an act to trap Jesus, to get him to misspeak, to get him to trip up, to get him in a situation where they can really come down on him, okay? Set up a situation where they catch a woman in adultery, bring her to Jesus, throw her on the ground, and tell him what? Jesus, the law says we should stone her. We should pick up rocks and kill her. What do you think that we should do? Right? And the famous line of Jesus is what? Well, any of you without sin? Come on, grab the first stone and throw it at her. And one by one, the rocks fall, and the accusers, the Pharisees, they leave. And then there's this powerful scene where Jesus says, you know, who's left to condemn you? And she looks around. There's nobody left. And Jesus says what? Neither do I. Go and do whatever you want. Hey, go right back. Go right back to what you were doing. Sorry. We're okay. You're forgiven. You can go right back to that life. Okay? Go find the guy or go find another guy. Go do whatever you want. That is not how that story ends. That story ends with Jesus looking at this woman and saying, you know what? You don't have to live like this anymore. You don't have to do this anymore. You don't have to get caught in this cycle anymore. I realize this cycle's been a part of your life, okay? And I realize this is just the way you think life is, and there's no escape for you. There is escape for you, and it's me. I don't condemn you either. Go and leave it. Go and leave it. Go in a different direction. You don't have to do that anymore. That's a way more convincing story than, oh, you're forgiven. Go do whatever you want. That is so much more powerful that Jesus is able to look at her and say, you can go leave that. You don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to be trapped in that guilt. You don't have to be trapped in that life. You don't have to do that anymore. You are set free from the power of sin. How much more powerful is that? A couple chapters later, what does Jesus say? The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And your translations will all say it differently. The whole point is what? There's a contrast here. Hey, there's one way to live life, okay? and just let sin come in and continue to steal, kill, and destroy. Because that's what it does. That's what it's supposed to do. That's just the mess it makes of our lives. Or, in Jesus, we are invited to a rich and satisfying life. And I'm sorry, but the rich and satisfying life isn't sin, forgive, repeat. Sin, forgive, repeat. That's not a rich and satisfying life. That's just a cycle of just, you know, discouragement. Oh, I'm just stuck doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And that's just not very hopeful, and that's not very encouraging, and that is not what Jesus has ever called us to be a part of. Leave the sin, forgive, repeat. And join him in a rich and satisfying life that leaves behind the life that we live and the things that we do into a totally different experience walking with and following Jesus. Let me see if I can help you with Paul's words. Because Paul, when he gets to the book of Romans, really tries to help us understand. If you want to know why everybody goes to Romans when they're talking about salvation, it's because Paul just like digs in for some reason with the believers in Romans, and he starts telling them all about what it's like to experience salvation and what it should look like and what should be a part of our life. So I want you to see some of the verses he writes to them. Listen to what he says. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its sinful desires. So Paul believes you don't have to. You don't have to let sin control the way you live, and you don't have to give in to its sinful desires. Perhaps Paul would take us all the way back and go, remember, Jesus came to what? Save us from our sins. So we don't have to let it control the way we live, and we don't have to give in to its sinful desires. Those days are over. Those days are over. Jesus has come, and we can follow him, and we can experience in him being saved from our sins. He continues, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. He just looks and says, hey, by the way, we shouldn't serve it either. So don't let any part of your body do that. Instead, okay, there's another way. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. This is the whole experience. You were dead in your sins, okay? This is not sin, forgive, repeat. This is you were dead in your sins, you were lost in your sins, and this is what Jesus has done. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So why would you give yourselves to be controlled by sin, to do what sin desires? And why would you give yourself and your body as an instrument to do things that are sinful? So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. And then he ends with this incredible statement. This is a statement we just got to memorize somehow. We just got to figure out how do we remember this statement he's about to make. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Sin is no longer your master. That's what it looks like to save his people from their sins. Sin's no longer our master. Sin no longer calls the shots in our life. Sin no longer says you have to do this. So for the woman who comes caught in adultery, he says, by the way, you don't have to do that anymore. Okay? You don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to live that way anymore. Why? Because sin's no longer your master. Telling you that's the only way to live, convincing you that's what you have to do, that there's no other way. You don't have to do that anymore. Sin is no longer your master. We live under the freedom of God's grace, and we have been set free from the power of sin. So that sin is no longer our master. He ends kind of that chapter with one of the famous verses that we memorize. What? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, everybody in here, in some fashion, has experienced that sin brings death. Sin, for some of you, has killed a marriage. It has killed a relationship. Sometimes with a child, sometimes with another family member, sometimes with a good friend, and something happened, let's just call it what it was, sin, and it broke apart that relationship. So all of us understand that sin brings death. Sin ends things, sin messes up things, sin destroys things. That's what sin does. And he said, but God's gift is so incredible. It's an invitation to live differently than you have ever lived before, where sin no longer calls the shots, where sin is no longer your master, where sin no longer controls your desires and the way you live, because Jesus came to save his people from their sins. So what I want you to think is not forgiveness for, but freedom from. That when we read that at Christmas, Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Don't just reduce that to forgiveness. Look at that as freedom. He came as, and I told you, this is hugely important. And we don't talk about this enough. The name Jesus is the Old Testament name for Joshua. And it's kind of just gone that way over time. That through translation, we just use the name Jesus. It's really named Joshua. Why? Because Joshua came to, what was his job? To liberate the people, to set them free into the promised land after Moses got them right to the edge. That was his job. So they understood that. They just had the wrong thing he was supposed to conquer. He wasn't supposed to conquer Rome. And he wasn't supposed to give them their land back. He was giving them their lives back. And he was setting them free from their sins and welcome them into a new place. The Jewish people miss it. And by the way, we miss it too sometimes. Because we've just reduced everything into, oh, God, just forgive me. I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. It's terrible. Forgive me. And then we just go out and do the same thing. Or it looks a little bit different, but it's kind of the same thing. It's different. We just continue to live in ways that are just absolutely trapping to us. They are not ways in which our lives are spent in freedom. So don't think forgiveness for. Think freedom from. Sin is not your master. Sometimes what helps when you look at a phrase like this is just to name what it is you struggle with. Okay? That means anger, rage. That's not your master. Lust is not your master. Those things aren't your master. Those things do not have to have any control over your life. They don't. They don't. Because in Jesus we have been offered forgiveness because he came to save his people from their sins. Sin doesn't have to be your master. I want you to know that without a doubt this morning. Sin doesn't have to be your master. It loves to take that position, doesn't it? It loves to take that position and control and run and ruin our lives ultimately. It loves to take that position where it just controls us and more of our day becomes controlled by sin being our master and telling us how we're going to live and what we're going to do and what's next. And less of it gets lived under the freedom of God's grace and his love for us that has set us free from our sins. So who needs Christmas? Anyone who needs to be saved from their sins needs Christmas. You and I, we need Christmas. Because we need to be saved from our sins. You don't need another moment where God, I'm sorry, and go out and do it again. You don't need any more of those moments. Okay? You need moments where you remember that sin is not your master. And sometimes you just have to get up every morning and say that. Sin is not my master. Sin is not my master. It no longer controls me. It no longer dictates my life. But anyone who needs to be saved from their sin, boy, that's who needs Christmas. And when we miss that, we miss a significant part of the Christmas story. And let me just tell you, you miss a significant part of the freedom that you and I have been invited into in Jesus. So, I wanted to give you a few moments to just to think about this. Just to think about, just to be able to, you know, to just remind yourself, sin is no longer your master. Not in Jesus. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. It is not your master. And so I want to give you a few moments of reflection. This is an incredible song, Christmas song by Lauren Daigle called Noel. And I just want you to listen to it. And while you're listening to it, you know, would you just, you know, pray that? Because we all need reminding of this. We all need reminding Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Okay, you don't need another time to say you're sorry and go out and repeat it. You need a day of freedom. You need a day of being released. You need a day where sin is no longer your master and you are free to live under the incredible freedom of God's grace. So take a few moments, think about this as you're listening to this song.